الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين والأخيار من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا؟ إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا، إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. In continuation of our subject on الجبر والتفويض, the coercion, the idea of coercion, and the idea of free will, and how we cannot accept both of them because they contradict with the principles of the Holy Quran. Neither man is coerced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bereft of his freedom and his choice. Allah does not do that to him. Allah does not create a human being and he sends him to earth and he tells him, you have no choice. I am controlling you. I have the remote in my hand and I tell you what to do, what to say, you know. And you have no control over your activities whatsoever. Even if you want to do something of your own choice, you would fail. He would not do that. But we have some Muslim philosophers who subscribe to this idea of jabr. That no matter what you do, God had predestined you either to evil or goodness. And I read a hadith from Sahih Muslim, and I did not quote you the reference, but this week I am quoting you the reference in Sahih Muslim, the second holiest book in the Sunni tradition. After Sahih al-Bukhari comes Sahih Muslim, al-Imam Muslim Ibn al-Hajjaj al-Qushayri. This is his full name. In Sahih Muslim, Kitabul Qadr, a chapter on Qadr, destiny. In volume 8, page 44, he narrates a hadith that we don't accept, but I have to narrate it for you to understand the mentality and the argument of the coercionist, Mujabbira, who believe that God forces us to do things. We have no will, we have no choice. I mentioned the hadith last week. The hadith says, of course, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when we are in our mother's wombs, Allah decides and predestines our life for us. He says, Mr. Fulan, I like him, so he's going to be good. Mr. Fulan, he's born and he does evil for 7 years, 8 years, until one day before his death, Israel comes to him, he switches from evil to good, so he goes to paradise. And then Allah, on the other hand, he comes to someone else. He says, this man is evil and he has to go to the hellfire. And that poor man is born and he does nothing but good and wholesomeness for 78 years until a few minutes before his death, he switches from what? From good to evil, so he can go to Jahannam. This is unacceptable. This argument compromises, not only compromises, but hurts and damages God's system of justice. If we believe in this, then there is no justice. He picks and chooses according to him, and he predestines us. He says, you have no freedom, you are like an animal, right? Basically, like an animal, who have no choice. Yes, there are entities and objects in this universe who have no choice. مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. Animals, they have no choice. And the reason they have no choice, not because God wants to abuse them, because they have no responsibility. When you don't have responsibility, you don't need the choice. You don't need the choice. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. Allah inspires them, teaches them, and they follow. They follow the instructions. And they follow strictly. They follow the instructions strictly. They do not disobey. They do not disobey. If an animal wants to disobey the philosophy of his creation, we will have a big problem. Big problem. So animals, they follow the orders. They have no choice. The cosmos system entirely has no choice. It follows an order. It follows the instructions. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا in Surah Yasin. The solar system moves towards as a prescribed time. لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا termination point. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرٌ. See taqdeer here, predestined upon them. They have no choice. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. God has ordained this on them. If the sun says, God, today I want to be late 5 minutes. I'm sleepy now. I don't want to rise at, 7 or 8, for instance. What will happen? The whole universe is going to be destroyed. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلْ. As to the moon, we have predestined it to phases. It's not up to the moon, it's up to the creator of the moon. وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلْ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. لَا الشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرِ. Neither the sun with one day overtakes the moon. وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ. Neither nor night is going to intersect with day or outstrips the day. They don't do that. They have no choice. They have no free will here. They have no say here. They cannot suggest things to God. They have been created in the way they have been created, and they have to listen and listen to the orders. With us, we have the choice. This is the difference between us and animals and other creatures. Allah created the universe for us. And He says, man, I gave you the most precious thing in this life, and that is aql, brain and reason. And I want you to use your reason in choosing your way, your path. Don't tell me I follow my mother, I follow my father, I am born in this village, and the people of this village, they moved on this path, so I was with them. Don't tell me, I don't accept that from you. I'm going to ask you about your homework. Did you do your homework to find me? Or you found him by accident? Some people found God by accident. That is not acceptable from them. It's not. You have to find God by research. You have to do your homework. Not by accident. Not by taqleed, emulation, and others, listening to others blindly. So that was the argument that we spoke about, and we found that some dictators in the history of Islam, within the history of Islam, they took advantage of this idea of predestination and jabr. Some of them were Bani Umayyah. Bani Umayyah, they said, this is a good idea. Then we vindicate ourselves from any responsibility, even if we destroy the whole society. We tell the people, God wants me to do this. I have no choice. I'm a very good man, believe me, I have good heart. I don't want to kill, but this is God. God wants me to kill. God wants me to wipe out the whole society. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is how they portrayed qada and qadr. But this is not the case. God does not force you to do something bad and he gets hold of you on the day of judgment. He says, ha, now I caught you. You did something bad. He would not do that. God says, well, we give them the choice, we show them the way, and we give them the choice. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا. If he wants to be grateful, obedient, good for him. If he wants to be kafura and grateful, let him enjoy the life for a few days. But there is a court waiting for him. There is an arrest warrant against him. He will be arrested in the day of judgment. إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Now we come to something that we always hear, الْقَضَاءُ وَالْقَدَرُ. قَضَاء and قَدَر has two different interpretations in the Sunni tradition and the Shia tradition. The difference between the Shias and the Sunni is not just the way you wipe your feet or you wash your feet or you pray cross hand or you drop your hand. No, it's not only that. It's deeper than that. It's deeper because we follow our imams. A Sunni follows certain imams. Their imams, they theorize for them. They tell them, this is my understanding of the Quran. We also follow certain imams who say, this is what I got it from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm not inventing something new. I got this from my father from his father. It was passed down to us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the difference. So even when it comes to philosophical issues, we have differences, profound differences. We have profound differences. In the Ahlul Bayt tradition, when I say Ahlul Bayt, I mean the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. The Imams that have been appointed, we believe that they have been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the matter of Al-Qadr, Al-Qadr, Qadr means decision, or sometimes in English it means destiny. What is the meaning of destiny? What is the meaning of qadr? Al-qadr means inna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuqaddir. What does yuqaddir mean? Yuqaddir is the verb. What does it mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assesses the situation, evaluates, appraises the situation. He considers the quality, the quantity, the time, the space. He evaluates and he measures. And this is mentioned in the Quran. In Surah Al-Qamar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we support our argument by the Quran. Nothing Ahlul Bayt say that is strange to the Quran or outside the Quran. Every argument they have is rooted in the Holy Quran. Listen to the Quran when he speaks about taqdeer. Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadr. Verily, every object, everything in this universe we created with proportion and measurement. Biqadr. Nothing you can see which is too much. You say this is extra. Why God created this extra? Nothing is extra. Even if you see too much snow, it is extra for you. Too much rain, could be extra for you because you don't like rain. But it is not extra for the earth. Biqadr, there is measurement. Even if you see some insects, oh, why God created these insects? بقدر. Allah says with measurement. So this is the meaning of taqdeer. In another verse, Surah Al-Furqan, which is verse 25, chapter 25, verse number 2, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Your Lord created everything in this universe, and He ordained it for a measure. وَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. So this is the meaning of taqdeer. When you hear qadr, it means that God assesses and evaluates. Now, what is qada here then? It's something different. Although sometimes we use them interchangeably, but they are different. If you analyze them, they are different. Different in meaning. Qada means when Allah endorses His last signature and His last endorsement, and He says, this taqdeer that I made, taqdeer takes place not in the world of existence, outside the world of materialization and existence. In Allah's book, in Allah's file, with Him. Qada means when it comes into existence. When it is created, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. In another verse, إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When he signs the papers, he endorses, now it is the stage of qada. It materializes. You see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for some people that I have to allocate this much time, this much age, umr, and this much wealth for him. But then this could change. This could change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change this based on what we do. Based on what we do. We have a hadith that sometimes Allah creates and He says this one should live for 7 years. But depending on my behavior, it could be even cut down to 30 years or it could be given another 20 years. And this is the qada. The first one was taqdeer. The second one is the endorsement. The qada is not going to change. Taqdeer, it would change. Allah will change it. This is why we have Laylatul Qadr is important for us. Because we ask Allah, please, you know, give me some more. Have more mercy on me, more compassion on me, more forgiveness on me. We ask Him, if He would not change, why should I ask Him? I'm wasting my time. Why should I? He decided long time ago and He would not change His mind. But because He says, I leave it for you. I leave it for what you do, for your practice, how to handle it, and then I will change it for you. This is why it is important for us to pray on that night. That is the night of taqdeer. After it is measured and allocated, then it becomes endorsed, qada. It comes into existence. And then qada and qadr, it could apply to everything in this universe. But when it applies to everything in this universe, it is coercion. They have no choice except man. When qada and qadr applies to us, we have the choice. It's not by coercion. And even our activities, my friends, even you and me, sometimes our actions are involuntary. And sometimes they are iradi, voluntary. What are the actions that we have no control over them? What are? Now you are sitting and there are millions of cells being burnt now. There is a blood circulation. Do you feel it? Do you give the order? Do you say to your heart, my lovely heart, Habibi, more palpitations, you know. Send more blood. You don't. He doesn't listen to you. Or stop. My heart, I want you to stop now. Stop. He would not stop. Or the digestive system. You have no control over them. They run, and some people, believe me, they live for 8 years. They don't know that they have a stomach, for instance. They know how to eat, but they know nothing about their stomach. They don't know. They have something called kidney. How many people know about their kidneys and the functioning? So they don't get orders from us. We have no control over them. Allah says there is another area that you have control over it. on that area I am going to judge you. Not on the physical activities of your body, bodily activities. I'm not going to judge you on that because you have no control over it. On the area where you have control, what area? The choice. The choice that you make here. What you eat, what you drink, what you say, the actions, your relationships. A simple example. Now, inshallah, after the prayers is finished, you're going to go for lunch, inshallah, most of you. Some people, they have the choice. The restaurant, there are many restaurants. Some people, they make special choice. I go only to the halal restaurant. Others, which is not among you, among others outside, any restaurant for them is okay. As long as the food is delicious, you know, they would eat. They would not check it out. This is a choice. Allah says, the food could be halal or haram. I leave the choice for you to decide. But I am going to judge you over that. When I give you the choice, there is also responsibility comes with it. So in that particular area where we have control over it and where we have choice, Allah is going to hold us accountable. Accountable for what we do. In this area, we have a freedom. Other areas, we might not have a freedom in that. Now, some people say, many people, not some, they say, God created me in this family, in this country, in this particular community. And He put me in a situation that I had no choice but the bad choice, to commit haram, to commit a crime. It's God. God, He puts me. He brought me from two parents, bad parents, let's say. I went to a bad school, you know, in a bad area, bad teacher, bad circumstances, bad economy, bad government. And then I had no choice but to join the gangs and then to kill, to rape. So, is he right in what he's saying or not? Definitely he's not right. Because it's still with these circumstances, still you have the choice. And sometimes God puts you in the best place on earth, in the most religious place on earth, and still you can commit a sin. And the example of that is the son of Nuh, alayhi salam. Son of Nuh was raised in a good family, but he had the choice. So he didn't want to follow his family values. And the wife of Pharaoh, she was raised in the most terrible, intimidating, luxurious place on earth, but she had the choice. رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. She did not follow Pharaoh. She did not say, well, I am following the etiquette. I am the wife of the emperor, so I had no choice. You know, God put me on this. No, she said, I don't want this. رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ. Save me of him, his character, and what he does. So she had a choice. We have a choice. Besides, let's say you had no choice. Allah would not abuse you. You know why? Because even if you have the bad choice, it's not too late. Allah says forgiveness. Babul maghfira is open for you. You can still come back to me. Even after committing the sin, you can come back to me. One thing before I conclude, because this is a subject which is not easy to explain. And believe me, even today, after 1400 years, Muslim philosophers, theologians are still discussing this subject. This is an ongoing discussion. An ongoing discussion among the theologians and philosophers. Let me pause this question, and inshallah, if I still be alive after 5 weeks, when I see you inshallah after this Jumu'ah, I will address this question. An important question, most of our youngsters, they ask about it. They say that if God, through His knowledge, ultimate knowledge, comprehensive knowledge, God subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge over everything, omniscient, meaning that His knowledge about us, even before our birth, before our existence, He knows us. He knows the details of our life. He knows everything about us. Now, if God knows through this ultimate knowledge that X man is going to be born and he's going to be evil, he's not going to change. Why did he create him? Why did he create him? God, he knew that this man is terrible. So why did he create him? Is that compatible in harmony with Allah's justice, with Allah's wisdom? A person, God knows before his birth, he can see his life entire, like a movie, he can see it. Every bit and part of it. So why did he create him then? This is an abuse. You create someone knowing that this guy is going to be terrible, and then you take him to the hellfire? A very important question that requires a careful answer, inshallah. We will postpone it for 5 weeks from now, inshallah. Keep it in your mind, inshallah, this question. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطَّاهِرِينَ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأهل بيته، عليا أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام، وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر، وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى، صدق الله العلي العظيم. According to the riwayah that says Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was martyred 75 days after the death of her father. Today, the 13th of Jumada the First, Jumada al-Awwal, is the anniversary of the martyrdom of Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. In the life and the tradition and the practices and the history of the Muslim Ummah, there are many discrepancies and conflicts. On the one hand, when it comes to the physical, material heritage of the Prophet, you see many Muslims, they sanctify that. I'll give you an example. The Prophet used to wear slippers, na'al. There are many books today have been written, not today, long time ago, fi wasfi na'li Rasulillah. A whole book describes the slipper of the Prophet. Describes it. You read a book on that. Or rahilatu Rasulillah, his saddle. You know, when he rides a camel, or you know, he has a saddle. They write a book about the saddle of the Prophet. Or the donkey of the Prophet. The Prophet had a donkey. He would ride it. Ash-Shahba. It had a title, Shahba. So they write a book describing the donkey that the Prophet would ride. Today you go to some museums, you go to Istanbul, the Topkapi Museum, you find the piece of hair putting in a glass window, and they tell you this is from the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People sanctified that, canonized that, respect that. Or you can find a sword, they tell you this sword is attributed to the Prophet. People would go there and kiss the sword and, you know. But when it comes to the real heritage of the Prophet, the message of the Prophet, the teaching of the Prophet, the wasiyyah, the will of the Prophet, it had been ignored by many Muslims. Discarded, ignored, they turned away from the wasiyyah. When it comes to his na'al, his slipper, it becomes more important for some Muslims, not all Muslims, for some Muslims to take care of his na'al and his saddle, his slippers. But his real wasiyyah, his real hadith is being ignored. The hadith that all Muslims accept. But you don't see any imam in the Sunni tradition on any Friday, on any pulpit, recites hadith al-safina. مَثَلُ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي فِيكُمْ كَمَثَلِ سَفِينَةِ نُوحِ It's in their books, but they don't speak about it. They keep it concealed. They don't want people to know about it. مَثَلُ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي The resemblance of my family among you is like Noah's Ark. If you embark, you will be saved. If you reject, you will be drowned and you perish. Or the other hadith, which is even more famous and more popular, but they don't speak about it. You find it in their books. They don't bring it up. Hadith al-Thaqalain. Inni tarikun wa mukhallifun feekum al-Thaqalain. Kitab Allah wa itrati. Wa itrati. Sahih Muslim says it three times. Wa itrati, wa itrati, wa itrati. My family, my family, my family. Who speaks about it nowadays? Which Sunni imam or sheikh in any... Tell me what masjid, what school, what seminary, what university, what satellite TV they speak about it. They don't speak about that. Because some part of the Islamic history has to be hidden, has to be concealed, has to be deleted completely. Because it is shameful. It is shameful. Shameful for the Muslims. It is shameful for the Muslims to treat the daughter of their Prophet in this terrible way. Terrible way. Attacking the house, a small house, the house of worship, the house of dedication, the house of piety, the house of sincerity, ikhlas. The most beloved room in the heart of the Prophet was the house of Ali and Fatima. The Prophet would not go into that house before asking permission. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ The Prophet stands at the doorstep and recites this verse for 6 months to bring the attention of the Muslims that what is meant by this ayah is this house, not somewhere else, this house. The house of Ali and Fatima. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا If you read the Sunni transmitters of hadith, Sunni muhaddithin, they say the Prophet would stand there for 6 months, every single day before the morning prayers. Muslims are coming to the masjid to do the morning, he wants them to hear. Their leader is standing there and he repeats this ayah. 6 months, not 6 days, not 6 weeks. But then, just a few hours after his departure, that house was completely ransacked, was destroyed. And the people of that house were insulted. But today there are Muslims, when you bring this issue, don't talk about it. Please don't. This is history. Why this is history? If this is a good history, we have to be proud of it. If this is a bad history, we have to tell our children not to continue doing bad. Because if your son, if you don't tell him, if your son, he does his own research one day at the age of 20, 25, and he discovers, he would not respect you. He would tell you, my father, my imam, my sheikh, you were cheating, my teacher, you were cheating on me. There is an important portion in the history of Islam that you concealed. You didn't want to talk about it. You were ashamed of it. Why did he do this to me? You should have told me about my Islam, the history of my Prophet, the history of what happened after the life of the Prophet. It's important for me. And leave the choice for me. Leave the choice to choose my way. But they don't do that. And the tragedy continues. Because they don't do that. Some people are foolish. They don't know anything about the history of their Islam. Some people are confused. Some people are ignorant. And some people have a prejudice, even if they know, like their ulama. Definitely Ibn Baz, a man like Ibn Baz, Mufti al-Mamlaka, the Mufti of the greatest Muslim country, definitely he knows what is right and what is wrong. Definitely he knows. Shaykh al-Qaradawi, definitely he knows what is right and what is wrong. But he doesn't speak the truth because dunya is more important than the akhir. This is not my word, this is the Quran. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Dunya is more important. He sees the benefits of the dunya. He's not willing to let go. Difficult for him. But others, they spoke the truth. When they discovered it after 6 years, 7 years, they looked at the truth. They said nothing above the truth. I don't give a preference to anything when I see the truth. We have to teach our children in an atmosphere of understanding and respect to revisit the history of Islam. Especially that period, the critical period, that 3 months or 6 months after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Allahumma salli wa ma Muhammadun illa rasulun. I salute Fatima al-Zahra today, brave lady of our daughter. Fatima, she stood for the truth. She paid her life for it at the age of 18. But it is worth it. Fatima teaches us to speak the truth, to be courageous, to stand before those, the abusers, and tell them you are wrong. I'm not going to give up. And see, Sahih al-Bukhari says, this is the most important book in the Sunni history. وَمَاتَتْ فَاطِمَةٌ وَهْيَ وَاجِدَةٌ عَلَىٰ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet, she died. Fatima, where Bukhari in his book, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لِرِضَى فَاطِمَ وَيَغْضَبُ لِغَضَبِهِ. In his book, he says, he admits that the Prophet said, God would be pleased for her pleasure. God would be angry for her anger. He says in the same book, she died, eventually Fatima died where she was angry with Abu Bakr. وَهِيَ وَاجِدَةٌ عَلَىٰ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. Don't they ask themselves why? What? Why she was angry with Abu Bakr? What's the reason? They don't want to talk about this. This is politics, don't talk about it. Let's continue our journey. Our journey to where? To where? To salvation? If I am ignorant, I can find salvation. If I don't have the sincerity, the courage of facing the battle and falsehood, I can find salvation? We can't. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat innaka ghafirul khati'at. Allahumma wahhid kalimatal muslimin على الخير والصلاح والبر والصدق والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين. وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.